What's up, y'all? Welcome to Conversation Piece with Patrick Armstrong. I am the titular Patrick, and this is a show where we talk about the missing pieces of the conversations we're already having. It is March 17th. Happy 317 Day, y'all. 2024, you know, right here on the show, it's the year of the nap, and we are out here celebrating and amplifying folks doing it in the community and beyond. Shout out to the sponsor of this episode, Nap or Nothing, a dope homegrown brand highlighting and pushing Naptown culture through fashion design. All threads in the shop are produced locally by Circle City Prints. They got Slum House in there. They got really dope things in there. Check out the shop 7 days a week at 525 Mass Ave. Follow them on IG, Nap or Nothing Shop, with the underscores between each of those words. And you can check them out online and shop at naporenothing.net. Get your gear from Nap or Nothing right now. Shout out to Doom Maxi. Speaking of celebrating folks who are doing it in the city, my guest today has quickly made a name for himself as one of the young legends of Indianapolis hip hop, and I don't think nobody loves the city like he does. It is an honor and privilege to welcome Mr. 42K, Mr. How You What, 4200 Corey, to the show. What's up, man?
What's up, man? That's a hell of an intro, man. I appreciate it, man. Really.
I try. I love doing the intros. I love hyping people up. That's what the show's about.
Yeah, man. Thank you, man. Thank you.
Absolutely. For folks who may not know who you are, do you mind sharing just a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I go by 4200 Corey. I'm an artist, songwriter, here from the east side of Indianapolis, Indiana, the greatest city on earth.
Hell yeah.
And yeah, man, I've been doing music for about the past 3-4 years now, and we've seen a lot of success. So in relation to what your opening statements were.
Hell yeah. I'm here for
that's
it.
That's why.
I love watching
that's
you.
That's how I earn the names.
I've loved watching you come up as I've become familiar with your work. Where's your name come from? Where's the 4200 part?
And so 4200, I come from 42nd and Post Road, 4200 block of Post Road. And my middle name being Corey, I just try to keep it simple. And it's my way of saying, you know, I always keep a little bit of the city with me no matter where I'm going. So
I love that. How did you know that was going to be your moniker, like your stage name?
I didn't. Okay. I didn't. So, I mean, I'm 22 now. I started doing the music stuff seriously when I was, let's say, 18, 19. And, you know, I was doing this music stuff in school in Baton Rouge, went to Baton Rouge, tried to get out the city, see something new.
Okay.
And, I mean, didn't see much difference, but I may not have chosen the perfect place for it. But, yeah, went down to Baton Rouge, got to see a little different things, dropped some music, came back home, and the reception was just a little larger than I expected.
Okay.
And so when I came home, we started knocking out shows, and the name was already there. It was just the name. And
that's what's up. When did you first pick the pen up and start to write? Like, what was there an inspiration and impetus, or was it like, oh, I'm just doing some music stuff in school, I have an interest?
You know what, man, actually, I started doing music seriously, like writing anyways, when I was probably maybe, let's say, 12 or 13. I started using it as a coping mechanism. You know, just grew up a little faster than most kids my age, lost a lot of people. You know, departure was something that was heavy in my life in terms of repetition, things of that nature, just losing a lot. And so I ended up leaning on writing heavy, and eventually it became music. It went from writing little stories and writing how I felt to rhyming things, and somehow we led here.
Yeah.
Mr. How You What.
For sure. That's interesting, like, this theme of departure and, like, loss.
Yeah.
And how did, like, you said you wrote little short stories, you wrote little, like, poems and stuff. How did you, like, was writing that first outlet, or were you thinking about other ways or processing or coping?
I mean, to begin with, you know, I think for most people in situations like mine, coming from impoverished communities, coming from one-parent households, big families, you know, just trying to get by, you really never notice at first just how deep you are in it.
Sure.
Like, you know, you continue to maneuver through life, and you just try to get by because that's how it's always been. And it just eventually got to a point where I wanted to deal with these things around, like, 14, 15, wasn't necessarily sure how to. So I started trying what, you know, was available to me. So at first it would be sports, you know, basketball, football, all of that good stuff. Just trying to get within the lines of whatever sport I'm playing. So mm-hmm. if it's football, we within the guidelines of the hashes.
Okay.
And yep. if it's basketball, we within the baseline.
Yep.
So, you know, just trying to stay busy in that sense. But writing definitely became the main thing.
Okay.
Sure.
And you said that you played a little bit of ball in college.
Yeah, yeah.
You hooper.
Just
you
a know, pinch. Just a pinch.
This is a show that is like, it's a low-key a basketball podcast. Yeah. It's becoming that. But, you know, I talked to a lot of people in February about just how basketball has played such a pivotal role in the work that they ended up doing. Mm-hmm. How did, like you said, you know, you work within the baselines, within the 94 feet of the court. How did that mindset translate into the music that you started to create?
Yeah, it's therapy, right? And sure. music will get to a point, or has gotten to a point for me at times where it becomes this... It was once an outlet, and then once you look at it and you see what you've been creating all this time, it's like you don't want to get stuck in that space.
Sure.
Because you spend so much time just trying to get it off, and then you look back at it, and this is like, it's just a big old sad lump of stuff. So with basketball and stuff like that, man, it's really therapeutic, and it helps you sort of, like, maneuver through the life without having to worry about so much. Because when you're within those lines, it's, you don't worry about anything else.
Yeah.
Like, you just, you're there. And it's such a, basketball is such a present-minded sport.
Yeah.
Like, you can't play that sport and worry about anything else.
100%. I really resonate with that because I tell my wife that all the time. I'm like, basketball is the only time ever in my life right now where I can, that's the only thing that I'm thinking about.
Exactly.
And when I'm on the court, like, I'm not worried about the shit that's gone wrong at, like, work, or like, am I gonna get this thing for the podcast, or like, even like, what's going on with my kid and with my wife.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Shout out to them for helping me and allowing me to be able to do some of this stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's these everyday stresses that you normally can't get away from. You don't really have that. And basketball has been able to be that for me.
Right.
And sounds like the same for you. Especially when your career has now taken off in the way that it has. Can you walk us through the initial release? You said your first drop was in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
And then you came back to Indy and you're like, oh, people are vibing with this.
Yeah.
Can you talk about like that initial moment coming back, what that reception was like for you, and then kind of how you've grown from then to now?
I say, man, the initial reaction being to my first EP, Rest Easy, was really dope, because one thing that I have come to an understanding of is comparisons. Mm. And, you know, when I first dropped, I had to understand that a comparison isn't a slight. It isn't necessarily somebody sort of denoting or, you know, taking away from what you got building. It's just a way of making sense of what they're listening
sure.
to. And so when I first dropped the first EP, I was getting these comparisons of like Meek Mill and Dave East. And
okay,
it was interesting, you know?
Yeah, that
and
is
I was just like, all right, well, okay, that's cool. At least they're able to make sense of it in their own ways and, you know, make it make sense to themselves. And when we came back from school in Baton Rouge, it was a really interesting spot that we were in, because the city, this is my senior year, was COVID for high school.
Okay.
So coming back, this is like fresh after COVID. Things are still like sort of getting back to normal. And we were able to start doing shows, but they had to have vaccines for everybody to get into the shows and all of this stuff. And, you know, just going through the motions of that. And then we eventually got into my project, Hold On For Dear Life, which yep. I think is the one that sort of took it made this all look realistic in terms of, we want to do music seriously and
sure.
we want to be taken seriously. And Hold On For Dear Life did what it did. And ever since then, it's been like no looking back. It's just like everything we've done in terms of whether it's a partnership, whether it's, you know, operations with sitting down people such like yourself, like everything just feels bigger. Everything feels more important. Everything feels more intentional. And like it's just this constant motion of growing.
Yeah.
And now to be where we at, we're recently releasing For Naptown To The World.
Mm.
Just seeing the city sort of light up and be embraced by the likes of Maxis and Paris.
Yeah.
And like it's truly humbling. It's quite the experience.
Yeah. I love it. Hold On For Dear Life is a dope project. I've been listening to that recently. But For Naptown To The World, I told you, you know, it's been the anthem in my car. It's been like the thing that I've been listening to when I'm walking around the city. It does feel very Indianapolis. Yeah. Like, it feels very 317, very Naptown. Yeah. And I read in an interview where, you know, like you said, it's really humbling to be able to work with a lot of these dudes who have been doing it.
Exactly.
In the scene. What was it like putting that project together and bringing them onto something that you're leading? Like, this is your thing. They're coming to support Corey.
It's crazy. It's really crazy, man. Putting it together, like, my biggest thing was working with people that I've actually built relationships with.
Sure.
And people that actually inspire me and play, like, very paramount roles within building what this city has become. Oh. And getting everybody to be a part, to the fact that everybody was so willing to be a part. Like, Skip was so excited to hear, like, so Indiana.
Yeah.
And I remember playing it for him. He was like, bro, this sounds like some mad scientist stuff.
Like, yeah.
So, like, it was, we knew we had something special just based off of how everybody sort of treated it before it ever dropped. Like, the way we went about studio sessions was, like, I locked in an entire month and just, like, was like, I didn't get much sleep. I spent so much time just tweaking songs, coming in, having studio sessions here. I had to, like, there was some type of divine timing with everybody being able to make it on time all together. Hey. Like, the Hot Box record with me, Stokes, Fox,
Sirius. Fire record, dude.
Somehow we managed to get all three of us in the studio at the same time. And then, like, just having the production that we had with the likes of Macaulay's. And it was fire, man. It was fire. Like, I look at these types of opportunities. I look at the stuff that we were able to do within the city. And I think just how blessed we are to be able to pull it off. And
100%.
Not even just pull it off, but actually have it be embraced and receptive with.
I love it. I think it's so indicative when you just look at the artwork. Like, you have all these dudes show up on the cover like that, and it feels like, oh, this is a community. Like, this is a community of people who put this together.
Yeah, see, bro, and that's what I'm saying. Like, that's another example, because that's probably, what, a 15-degree day?
Oh, damn.
And everybody pulled up to sit here and kick it with us. And yeah, man, it's just like, when people made it seem that important, it made it all the more better when it released.
100%.
And people were able to understand, like we believed in the vision, but now, like, now that it's out and we actually get to listen to, like, it's amazing. So it's really dope.
I love that. When I was talking to Skip last month, he talked about how he doesn't think that there's really, like, a Naptown sound. And it's because there's so many people, so many different artists who create just really diverse versions of music, or hip hop specifically. When I listen to this particular record, I feel like I said, it feels very Indianapolis to me. It does feel like that sound. What is your take on that? Do you feel like do you resonate with that?
I agree.
Okay.
I agree completely. I mean, we are in the middle of everything, so we take from a lot of different sounds, not necessarily intentionally, but naturally, like, we just have a lot of things going on in indie.
Yeah.
Like, even from an aspect of, I think about it a lot, like, we say how you what, there's an entire demographic of people from Indianapolis who've never heard that or say it. So, so it's like, with that in mind, there's so many different ways you can play with the sounds. But what one thing that I do say is for certain is, when somebody's from Nap and they're unapologetic about it, like, it doesn't matter how they sound about it, we know that they're from here.
Right.
And that's enough for me.
Because there's going to be those little things, those inflections, those sayings that'll break through in the song.
Right.
Or you hear it in the ad-lib or something that's coming in and you're like, oh, okay, I see where you're coming from.
But no, he's definitely right in that sense, because that it's a big old mixing pot of sounds and people trying to make their own sounds and things of that nature, which I always encourage. So, yeah, he's not wrong about that at all.
Do you think there's something missing from the scene right now that you maybe fill a gap in, or that you think we should be talking about when it comes to Indianapolis hip-hop?
I'd say if it is, I'd love to hear it from somebody.
Okay.
Because, I mean, in the sense of when it comes to creative music, I don't think anybody owes anybody anything. So
100%.
When I'm listening to music, I'm always just very, I'm very big on just the intentions of everybody and making sure that you're making music that, you know, is actually fulfilling your spirit. And that's the biggest thing for me.
I love that.
And fulfilling your spirit doesn't necessarily have to be some super, you know, crazy journey. It can be a head nod. It can be a vibe.
Right.
It can be all of these things. And so when it comes to indie, just hoping that people make what what really works for them.
Well, it's something that you're passionate about too. Like, I think, you know, absolutely. Like find your passion absolutely. And then like, if that'll come through in the record or whatever it is that you do.
Absolutely.
You know, and speaking of Skip, he said something about you in particular on our, in our conversation. He said that you're both, well, first he said you're stepping on people and I love that. I'm like, okay, yeah, Corey out here doing it. But then he said, you know, you're driven both musically and by business, like you're business minded as well.
Right.
What does that mean for you to navigate both of those lanes? Are they the same lane?
Nah.
Okay.
Not at all. I wish, but not at all. See, because with music, man, like I wish that somebody told us earlier on just how important the business aspect is and where we're heading with music. Hip hop, and because I mean I'm just more knowledgeable on that. Where we're heading with hip hop is a funny space in terms of the artist compensation, okay. In terms of the artist respect, in terms of where what we're creating. Have we heard it before? In terms of sampling, like there's just a lot going on right now, and understanding the landscape, the climate of hip hop, and where we're going, and in the direction of where we're going is very important.
Sure,
and that's separate from the music.
Sure.
I wish somebody would have told me that ahead of time. Because the one thing is for sure, like, I'm going to make music and I'm going to make what I enjoy.
Right.
The business aspect of it is, like, the music itself is the gift and the business is all the rapping.
Sure.
And all of this, the ribbons. And so figuring out how we're presenting this, these projects, figuring out what positions we want to be in and where we're heading and how we're maneuvering through this big mess of hip hop and where everything is going. That part is the business part. And yeah. And it can get real funny looking.
Sure.
If you're not being intentional. If you're not being very intentional with your steps. So when it comes to the music and it comes to the business, being savvy in both is really big for me. So that's why I tend to hang around the likes of an Anthony Murdoch.
Sure.
You know, because those are the guys who know the business for what it is and, you know, can pass down gems to me that I can hopefully use to, you know, get an advantage in this game.
Absolutely. He's doing amazing things for people in the city, especially for young black entrepreneurs who are trying to come up, figure out the business aspect of it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He's really putting people on game with that. I love it.
He's fire, man.
Yeah,
fire.
100%. You said you're 22?
Yes, I am.
When I listen to you talk, I'm 33. So I'm like, I got 11 years on you. When I listen to you talk, I'm like, man, this is an old soul right here. Like, this is somebody who I feel like is I think you said growing up fast, like you had to grow up fast, but like somebody who is like lived a life. And you're like, I've got a whole decade on you. I got a whole nother life that I've lived in front of you. And I just like, I appreciate, you know, the way that you talk about stuff, the intentionality that you have behind some of these answers. And then I think too, how that intertwines with this love of the city. Mm-hmm. When I hear you talk about it, and when I hear your music, I think this is somebody who could be quote unquote bigger than Indianapolis if they want. They could go to LA, they could go to New York, they could go somewhere else if they wanted to. What keeps you here?
I mean, well, what's kept me here up to this point is I had a point to prove.
Okay.
I think that they always say when you're coming up in the music, and I think it doesn't matter what hometown it is, they say you have to leave. And
yeah. With anything, really.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You got to go out, find yourself, and then you can come back.
Yeah. And I think that that's perfectly fine. Like I said, nobody owes anybody anything.
Yeah.
For me, it was just, it gnawed at me because I felt like I could do it. I felt like I could establish something here.
Yeah.
And then take off. Make enough noise, rub some feathers, and, you know, then take off and, you know, take the journey. And that's what For Naptown to the World is. When I was making it, that was the plan. It was this is my ode to the city. I know that I'm bigger than this.
Okay.
I know that.
All right.
And so it was just this is my ode to the city. Before we take these things to the next level, here's my big gift for y'all. And the best way that I know how to do it, you know, is making a very intentional project. So,
okay, I like that.
Absolutely.
Maybe we'll get into what is coming next, where are those places that you're going in a little bit. But talking about For Naptown to the World, I feel like it is, like you said, it's an ode. Like, it really does feel like a love letter to the city.
It is.
And I guess you just talked about it. My question was going to be like, when did you know this was the right time for this particular project? But this is like the point that you're proving.
Yeah.
That's what this stands for, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think the whole thing is just banging from front to back. I love, especially if I had the pregame podcast come on and like really pull everything together. And it's like this one, like the whole, I think, through line is like, oh, you're having this party.
Yeah.
That's going on, which leads into like Kick It and then closes out, which I think is really interesting. But my favorite back-to-back run is the title track and then With Love. Because yeah. I think you have Murdoch on there who speaks some really powerful things about yourself mm-hmm. and the way that this project comes together. And then on With Love, Maxie's got a fire verse. And I really felt like your final verse. I feel like the whole thing is structured really well. I love how they lead into each other. But I like how it shifts at mm-hmm. the end. And you come in and you speak really in a few short bars about your experience, your story a little bit from Heron High to where you're at now. What stands out to you as you reflect on your journey and get ready to go to, I was going to say bigger and better things, but to the next thing.
Right, right.
To the next thing for you, whether it's in the city still or somewhere else.
What really stands out for me, man, like, is, and I mean, it goes back to your question about the timing of the project.
Sure.
So, where we're at, like, as a city, is there's no guarantee that we can ever be in this spot again where this is, like, this rising. Mm. Like, let's say that everybody's right and we're on to something.
Sure.
To be a part of this specific time is amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing to look around and see the city flourishing on what seems like all angles.
Yeah.
And so for me, that's what stands out. It's just the timing of everything. For me, I think that the timing of everything has been very kind to me.
Sure.
In the sense of, you know, being able to shake hands and get to, not even just shake hands, but to get to know these people that I associate myself with and to get to know that they actually believe in me.
Yeah.
So I think what stands out the most is just where we are as a city and just how much support, genuine support, is here. It's not like a get-rich scheme. It's not like he's hot, so let's hop on the wave.
Sure.
It's like real love, and I think that alone has made me sort of kick it into this, what I call the 4200th gear.
Okay, the 4200th gear. Is that just like your own lane? That's your own gear? Is that what that is?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I love how you talk about relationship building, because like you said, it's not just shaking hands. Mm-hmm. It is the fact that, and you talked about it when it came to building this project, it was like you really wanted to work with the people that you had formed a relationship with, not people that you just rubbed an elbow with.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like you said, with timing, you know, to get people all, everybody in the room on Hotbox just at the same time, like it's like divine intervention almost,
yeah,
like
exactly.
For everybody to come in and be able to make this thing happen. I love that. I love hearing you talk about it. And I feel like it's very evident the passion that you have for something like that, even though you might be, again, going somewhere else to take your story, to take your craft to the next level, right. Whatever that might be.
Right, yeah. Right.
What would you want to see from an infrastructure standpoint for hip-hop in the city? Like, what would you hope that what you do and what you've done, what like Maxie and Skip is doing, Draco, what yeah. Sirius Black is doing, what would you want to see from an infrastructure standpoint for people that like yourself might be coming up after you, the next Corey?
Mm-hmm. See, with music, man, I tell artists that it's really good to have something aside from music. Like in terms of, I see a lot of artists who necessarily prioritize the streams,
sure,
or the image of the music itself. My success has been found in community. So with building something alongside the music to give people not just merch or anything like that, but give them an experience.
Yeah.
Finding ways for artists to give experiences that are relative to their brand and their passions. I think that's the biggest thing. Because, I mean, we see it with podcasts, with Draco, me doing the Crossroad crossover and having basketball competitions, things of that nature. Maxie hosting beyond, I don't know how many events.
Everything.
So, you know, just creating an experience for people. That's probably the biggest thing that I say. Because I think that's the tone that we've set in terms of infrastructure, is we made it more than music.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Talk about your... The Crossroads hoop tournaments that you
Okay,
do.
Okay. Yeah, man. So the Crossroad Crossover is something we came up with because I like playing basketball and I talked a little bit of mess and I probably got a little too deep in it. And so we made up this thing called the Crossroad Crossover, which serves as an opportunity for artists, creatives, business-minded people, entrepreneurs to come in and compete and connect. So it serves as like this this networking event.
Okay.
But it's basketball. So, yeah. You know, in a normal setting, networking event, you have to put on this face, you have to play this role. And with basketball, I can't do that.
Yeah.
With basketball, if you're upset, you're upset. You know, if you're having a frustrating day, you're having a frustrating day. And I think that that's allowed people to create real relationships.
Okay.
You know?
Because you get to see, like, the person, exactly. You know, at their... Maybe they're lowest if they're having a bad day.
Exactly.
You know?
And if they hot, you see how they act. Because another thing with me, man, is I believe people play basketball the way they live life.
Ooh, okay.
Absolutely, man. I've been saying that forever. And shout out Steve Kerr, because Steve Kerr said it recently, but I've been saying it forever.
Okay, so you put Steve Kerr on that game of how you live life.
You said it, not me. But no,
that's
yeah.
That's going to be the viral
Yeah, man,
right
like
there.
You see somebody that you know, they don't look for their teammates. Nine times out of ten, it's probably a little selfish person. You know, a guy that looks for his teammates more often than not, you know, he's more likely to, you know, share the sugar. It's stuff like that, you know, that I think is real big. And so we use that as an opportunity for people to compete and connect. And it's really fire. We come out, we get guys mic'd up. We've also had some college guys pull up, you know, pull up and compete with us, have some fun, make some highlights. It's also a chance for people to diversify their brands. Come in and, you know, show your following, you know, that you do a little bit more than whatever it is that you've been doing.
Yeah.
You know, so things of that nature. Just a big opportunity for everybody involved.
100%. I can picture the kind of player that you are, but how do you, based on the conversations that we've had here today, how do you play? It seems like you're a facilitator, but I feel like you're a little bit of a scorer.
I best describe my game as a little bit all around.
Okay.
So I just want to win. I just want to win.
I feel the same way.
So me, I'm fine with going the whole game without scoring. I'm fine with playing off the ball. I'm fine with playing with the ball in my hands. You know, I'm fine with playing defense. I take no shame in any of the things that I do.
Yeah.
And I think that has translated well over into my life.
I like it. That's a very diplomatic answer to anybody listening who plays with you. Yeah. I love it.
I'm who you want to play with.
I say the same thing about myself, and now I'm thinking, I'm like, isn't that really how I play? That's funny. So we just had the All-Star game too in Indianapolis. I think it was pretty big time for the city. I think we did pretty well with that. And I think it was big for community aspects. You were able to do some stuff. I know you did the basement with Streets.
Yep, yep.
How did that go?
Fire. It was amazing, man. One of my favorite shows ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why was it one of your favorite shows?
It was one of my favorite shows. I mean, aside from it being packed out and crazy, like the energy was insane. You just love to see stuff like that, especially considering the weather, traffic, all of those things.
Did you perform? You were Friday, right?
I was Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Friday was crazy. But Saturday was pretty cool, man. People pulled up. Everybody showed love. And we got to do new records. We got to do So Indie, and I got to see how that was received. Yeah, we got to see how that was received. Came out with a... Murdoch introduced me.
That's dope.
And got to perform for Naptown Twitter with the title track. It was fire. We had a good time. And I performed some unreleased stuff. So it was pretty dope.
Yeah. We're gonna get to I'm gonna ask you about the unreleased stuff, but I gotta ask, because we're still coming off of All Star Celebrity Game. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about your all around game, but if you were tapped to play in that game, how many points you put up?
I give you 8.
8 points?
I'm not gonna go out there and even try to, like, that's not me.
He's giving you the side eye right over here.
I'm not going to have... I mean, if he thinks I have more, then I have more. But at a bare minimum, I'm going to get 8.
Okay.
I don't know. It depends. They also be throwing some guys in there, like, from the NFL. Like,
right, that's true.
If DK Metcalf is guarding me...
And Micah Parsons, that's all about there. Yeah, yeah,
I'm getting you 20 assists. Give me the Celebrity All-Star assist. Yeah, give me the All-Star assist record.
Yeah, I like it. I'm here for that. All right, let's talk about new music, what you got coming up next. Like, for you, you know, there's been so much love for this record. And, like, you know, you're putting the cherry on top with the shows and stuff you got coming out. Are you doing touring with this? Are you going to do, like, what do you got coming up?
Man, so as of right now, man, we're doing a whole lot of sitting around talking to people, man.
Okay.
So it's been a grind. Like, we coming off of a big project, pushing it, and, you know, still pushing it in the right areas, making sure it's doing what it's supposed to do and reaching its max potential. And aside from that, you know, working on singles, collabed with a couple of big producers recently.
Okay.
You know, I can't say no names, but aside from that, man, like, it's a lot of fun stuff coming, bro. Like,
that's what's up.
And so, like, for the time being, you know, it's really just big for us just to embrace where we at right now before we take those next big steps.
Yeah.
But big records coming, really dope stuff coming. And I can't wait to show y'all, man.
Cannot wait to listen. It's March 17th, 317 Day.
Yeah.
What do you got going on today?
Everything in the world, man. So Nap or Nothing's hosting, of course, everything. I mean, it's events all throughout the day.
Yeah.
So I will definitely be performing later on today.
For sure.
Alongside the likes of Armani Trade Niner and Midwest Leak. So it's going to be, I mean, it's just, it's fun, man.
Yeah.
Last year was crazy. Last year was insane. We got to see just so much magic of the city in one space.
Yeah.
And every time stuff like I still have my wristband from it.
Okay.
I saved it.
Yeah.
So I'm geek, man. I'm geek. It's just like 317 Day is truly a holiday I think deserves to be national.
But, for sure.
Yeah.
You be coming, so no matter where you go, you're coming back every March 17th.
Got to. I'm having that day blocked off.
You got
the
day?
I had it blocked off for this year.
I like it.
I say whether we had something or not, I was like, I'm spending that day, I'm going to recoup for something.
For sure. Well, yeah, like you don't even have to perform. You just be showing up at the stuff. And
yeah,
I feel
yeah.
like, you know, you've carved out the space for yourself where people know your name, people know you, and to just pull up on the event is the thing in itself.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's the experience.
Yeah, bro. It's a beautiful thing, man.
100%.
It's a beautiful thing. And then with those guys, it makes it even better.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, let me ask you this before we start to wrap up and get out of here. Who are some folks right now that you're really vibing with in the scene? Like, who are you bumping?
Oh, this is a great question. I like too many people. Let me see. As of right now on the scene, my guys, of course, so my creative collective, Slum Baby Family. So it would be me, Macalades, my guy King Deere, who is currently based out of Jacksonville.
Okay.
I mean, Jackson, Mississippi at JSU. He's attending JSU. So yeah, he's currently down there doing his thing. He just released his new EP, The Farthest, which is fire. I love that joint. Macalay's latest work has been fire. Who else I've been listening to heavily? Sirius Black's new project, Bloody Knuckles' new project. Skip just dropped. He's getting ready to drop his next project. I'm geeked about that. Always listening to Maxi throughout the day. Baby Ebony's a favorite. Fox is getting ready to drop. His stuff has been amazing. I've been listening to Jet Santiago, who's another artist I really enjoy. I'm on his latest project.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got some good stuff, and he's a great performer. I love watching him perform. Flacco is bored.
Yep.
Fan. Guy who dropped a phenomenal album, Double A. Double A's album is really good. Double A is really good. Yeah. As far as guys in the city, yeah. Yeah, I love those guys right there.
Bet. We're going to put all the links to everybody in the show notes so people can get on game with
those
that.
Those guys are fire, man.
And then I guess my last question, thinking about the future, I want to go back to the past a little bit. Who were your biggest inspirations when you were coming up? And like, what would you say to them now that you've carved this space out for yourself and you've put your stamp on for Naptown to the world?
So my biggest influences would be, like I said, Ebony. Maxie's in there for sure. Skip is definitely on there. The likes of Big Wook is up there. These guys set the tone, right? So for me, I couldn't be Kendrick Lamar first.
Mm.
I had to be Skip first.
Okay.
In order for me to take the steps. That's what I always felt like I had to take the steps, right? And what's cool is I don't have to wonder what I say to him because I get to talk to him now.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So, I mean, just I tell them, like, it's crazy. Like, I was on the bus listening to your music. It helped me get through stuff.
Mm.
Like, to think that it's come full circle and we do music together.
Yeah.
We perform. Like, I just did a show with a feature that me and Skip are on Jet's song. And in the middle of this show, like, it felt surreal for a second. It was like I'm hyping him up. He hyped me up. I'm like, bro. And me, I'm kind of a jerk. So like I tell people they old all the time.
Oh yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
So like it's like, bro, like you are really old, but like you my guy. Like this is crazy. Like you've been doing this for so long, and it's just setting that tone is really dope.
Yeah.
So like getting to be able to talk to the Maxi guys who really build something bigger than music, and honestly, what I have sort of built my blueprint around.
Yeah.
Is really dope.
I appreciate you sharing like these steps in your journey. And like, again, I feel like you're like this old soul. So you old, you a little bit old at 22. But I feel like it serves as a blueprint for young people coming up right now too, who want to do the same thing or want to do something different. Because I feel like we live in a culture of immediacy, of urgency, and we try and do things. We want the result now, and we don't put the work in, and also we don't reflect on and give proper respect to the people who have done it. And instead of building upon what has come, we try to build anew. And like you said, you can't be Kendrick first. Okay. Like you got to be Skip. You got to pay respects to the people who have been doing it in the city. And I feel like your story is really evidence of that. So I appreciate that.
I appreciate that, man. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
What would you say to young Corey now, who is just picking the pen up, who's just maybe coming back or just getting to Baton Rouge, who's thinking about, oh, what do I want to do with this music? What would you say to that young version of yourself?
You got it, man. You got it. This is going to be ugly, and this is not even just for me. This is for anybody, you know, that has any aspiration in his life. Take your time, do your thing, take the necessary steps. Don't skip them. Bump your head. Enjoy yourself. You feel me? Look at the process. Embrace the process. Don't worry so much about the end. Enjoy the process, because that's where everything is at.
Right.
That's where all the fun is at, man.
100%.
You know? You're going to look back down the road, and you know, you're going to look back down the road and take it for granted if you don't. So, yeah.
I love that. I've been thinking about that with my son right now. It's like my kid, he's like, he's screaming all the time. He's pooping all the time now. Yeah. And I'm just like, I want to remember all of these little moments still though, because it's going to be gone before I know it. And
the good,
bad,
and the ugly of it.
Exactly. I want to be able to reflect on that and be like, you know, I remember when you were just a little, was just tiny, and it was us against the world. And, you know, like, but be present now in those moments so that way I can have that to call back on.
Absolutely. That's the motto, man. And like for me growing up, when it was crazy, things were crazy, people would be like, how are you so happy? Like he's one of the guys, he's like, I had no idea you were going through what you were going through at home. You know, and I don't know. I naturally have always been like, this is the process.
Yeah.
You know, and some days are better than others, but this is the process.
Yeah.
And I enjoy it. So I can look back, and that's why I'm so grateful now.
Well, and I think that's why your projects hit the way they hit, is because it's somebody who's clearly enjoyed the work that they do, and the result speaks to that.
Thank you, man. Thank you, man.
100%. Last question before I let you get out of here. How do we follow you? How do we find you? How do we support you going forward? How do we get your music? All that stuff.
Yeah, man, you can always support me by just following up on me, man. Keeping the track with me, streaming the new music, you know, just staying up to date with what we got going on, pulling up the shows when you can, if you can. But you can always find me at 4200KORY, 4200 Corey, all platforms, all social medias, besides TikTok. You got to spell it out with the words.
Okay.
But other than that, yeah, you can find me 4200 Corey everywhere. And I will always be rapping good and showing a lot of love, and you can see for yourself.
Hell yeah. I love that. I love that. We will have all of that linked in the show notes for you. Corey, thank you so much for sitting down with me and having this conversation. I appreciate everything you dropped for us.
Thank you for having me, man.
Absolutely. Macalaze, I appreciate you just sitting and chilling with us and giving the side eyes when we were talking about basketball. I cannot wait to take a look at the tape for that and run that back. But for everybody else out there, you know you can follow us on Instagram at ConversationPodPiece. Head to our website, conversationpiecepod.com, for all the stuff that you might have missed from the previous weeks. Remember, 2024, the year of the nap. Shout out to our sponsor, Nap or Nothing. Shout out to Maxi. Shout out to everybody doing it in the city right now. We got the Nap or Nothing gear on. We got Nap or Nothing on top, on bottom, everywhere at. You know what it is. Happy 317 Day. Go out, celebrate the city, be with your friends, be with your people, be with the community. And until next time, I've been Patrick Armstrong. This has been Conversation Piece, and we'll see y'all soon.